July 6th, 2005, item number 59. Today's guest is Paul from the Barefoot Radio Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Paul, a couple quick news and notes. First and most importantly, Dad, happy birthday. Now, some people have asked me questions about third parties that are creating, quote, iTunes-friendly feeds for them on some other sites. Do not, under any circumstances, use these, quote, iTunes-friendly feeds. You only want to feed in your original RSS URL to the iTunes Music Store. In my case, my site is podcast411.com/feed.xml. That is the only thing I want to feed in to the iTunes Music Store. If you have already used one of these third-party feeds that they create for you and then use through their website, what they are doing is they have taken control of your feed. You never, ever, ever want to let go of control of your feed. No matter how well-intentioned these third parties are, do not, repeat, do not use these third-party creations for your feed. If you have any questions about what I'm talking about, send me an email to rob@podcast411.com. If you're not sure, if you've already submitted to the iTunes Music Store with one of these third-party, I would recommend that you go in and report an issue with them, tell them you want to remove it, that it wasn't your correct feed that was put in there, and give them your correct feed. I couldn't be more adamant on this. There's been a lot of talk, Yahoo podcaster groups about this. Never, ever cede control of your RSS feed. Additionally, your feed does not have to even be iTunes friendly for you to be listed in the iTunes Music Store. Mine was listed when it was first launched last Tuesday. My feed at that point in time was not iTunes friendly, but I was in the directory. So don't let someone tell you also that your feed has to be iTunes friendly for you to get listed. Matter of fact, there are people that had their images in there that didn't even use the iTunes image tag. Don't be scared into thinking you have to change your feed just to get listed in the iTunes Music Store. You don't. It'll just be how your information is displayed. But you can still get listed. Matter of fact, all 3,000 or most of those 3,000 feeds that were listed in there last Tuesday were not iTunes-friendly feeds. So again, just put your regular feed into the iTunes Music Store. If you're not listed now, be patient. They have a lot of people to enter. It's not because you're not iTunes-friendly, you're not in there. It's just luck. Well, that's going to do it for my diatribe soapbox stance for today. We're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Paul. Here we go. Well, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, I always start out with a traditional first question, and that is, what was your first computer?
Okay. My first computer was a Commodore 64. I got it in junior high, and it was pretty good for gaming and stuff. A lot of kids had those in that day. It was really easy to copy games. Spent a lot of time playing The Bard's Tale. I was a super geek back then.
The Bard's Tale. I don't know that one. What was that game about?
It was a role-playing game, very similar to Dungeons & Dragons, basically, only computerized.
Ah, so you mixed D&D and computers. You truly were a geek.
I didn't do D&D, though. I did this computer game, which was like that. I've always been fascinated with medieval folklore and dragons and music by Ronnie James Dio, if you know who that is.
Oh, I absolutely do. I'm a metalhead, so absolutely.
Excellent. I've always been into rock and roll, starting from early teenage years. Part of why I'm into recording music like I am, and also why I'm impassioned about getting independent bands onto Barefoot Radio.
Now, you mentioned in your last podcast that you had a breakup with your band.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny you're bringing that up.
So what was that? That's got to be really awkward. I mean, is that like just like dumping a longtime girlfriend?
It is like that. In fact, I told those guys I would liken it to a girl that I have had to break up with before because I'm just not into it, and I know I'm not into it. So I told them I'm sorry for putting it that way, like making a metaphor with a girl I'm not into, you guys as musicians, but that's the way it is. So
now,
and I'm more into my radio show, actually. I'm still going to get a musical thing going, but I'm so obsessed with my radio show, I can hardly stand it. I can't sleep at night. I'm so obsessed with it.
You're listening to PK and J. And,
sure.
And judging by the promo Soccer Girl, what other podcasts are you listening to?
Well, I'll be honest. I've sampled tons and tons of them. And let me say first that I'm a total talk radio junkie. I'm into this because I listen to Howard Stern all the time. Everything I do, like around the house, driving my car, I'm usually listening to Howard Stern, whether I'm in the shower, whether I'm scraping the floor, washing the dishes, cooking. Literally, that's what I'm doing, listening to him. So he's the first and foremost reason I got into this game. And as far as podcasts go, there's a show out there that's been webcasting a show for a while called Red Bar Radio. It's hosted by a guy named Mike D, who I personally think is a breakthrough talent who's very underrated over there on Podcast Alley. I think, in my opinion, he should be in the top 10. And I can't believe I'm saying this about him. It's like I shouldn't be, but I believe in him as one of the best out there for sure. He's underrated, and I recommend it to everyone.
Okay, that's one I have not listened to yet.
It's offensive, so be prepared, but it's still entertaining as can be. Like, the production is better than I've heard. The mixing of the music, the sounds, and like I said, the host, Mike, is... he's a mental case, an intelligent mental case, and if he doesn't entertain you, like, he is the epitome of the future of American media, if I've ever seen it in a younger person. It's interesting, the way everyone approaches their show. It's a huge amalgam of whether you can, on one end, you have people making sort of personal audio blogs that I've become endeared to some of those simpler productions, and then you have people taking it as far as they can to be, like, the model of, like, morning radio or something. I lean toward that radio end, personally, and I like shows more that try and have production values like that. As far as offensive content, I don't believe in censorship. I think people shouldn't be too uptight. You can't take anything too seriously you hear in a podcast.
Right. I mean, that's the beauty of podcasting. Anything can be said at any time, anywhere, and it's up to the person that that creates the podcast of what's appropriate, not anyone else. Now, what was the first podcast you listened to? Do you remember?
One of the first ones I listened to was Adam Curry's Daily Source Code.
You are doing some promos, so obviously you've got some money mm-hmm. coming in. You're doing I'm sure you're doing the ones for Podcast Pickle. You're getting some change from Gary on that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd hope so.
And I had a couple other jobs here and there recently that came from that job I did at Podcast Pickle, which was nice. I've never earned money that way before, and this new door is sort of opening up, where I can help people out with their media and their podcasts, making them intros, outros, promos, or whatever audio need people have. I'm willing to consider trying to make something, indeed.
Yeah, you had mentioned on the last show that you had a Podmigo approach you. So you're going to try to get Podmigo a promo going.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just made an intro and outro and promo for him that I finished up today. I'm almost finished with the outro, and then it's all finished. He's starting a show called Lucy and Ricky at lucyandricky.com, which might be kind of interesting. I like the personalities I heard they had on tape.
Now, let's talk a little about your show.
Okay.
How would you describe the format and content when someone listens? What should they expect to hear?
Well, you know, certainly it's a lot of adult themes, but I kind of describe my show as quirky and weird and philosophical. There are odd stories. You can be offensive. You don't have to worry about your idea hurting my feelings or something, or chafing on my idea of bad taste. I'm not so sensitive when it comes to being offended. So I also love featuring the music of independent bands and musicians. This is something I'm really impassioned to do. And not only do I want to play music from bands, I want to establish a connection with them, because I think it enhances the overall quality of my show to be connected with those people. So I'm trying to get people to do vocal drops for me that I can mix in with the music when I play it. And I give them full plugs every time, because one of my goals is also to move music for those bands. I believe if they're successful, I'm going to be successful. So I spend a lot of time reaching out to bands. That's one of the places I'm really targeting in terms of increasing the listenership of my show, because musicians love to hear that they're on the radio.
How are you approaching going out to bands? Are they coming to you mostly, or are you going out and actively searching for them?
So far, it's been all of that. I've approached bands and clubs when I enjoy what they do, and that's usually when they're most receptive, is when I meet them in person. I've emailed tons of people from their website. I've asked people to tell me, who do you know? I've gone a lot to GarageBand.com, where I've been a member there for 6 years, and my podcast is actually featured rather high in their rankings over there. I've done a lot of song reviews over there, and every time I do and enjoy someone a lot, I approach them to have their music on my show. And I've gotten a lot of CDs sent to me for free through GarageBand.com. It's a great community over there. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Okay, so if someone's looking to do a show with music, that's the place to go.
That's the best source I've found. I know other people have gotten into other websites. I think there's one called purevolume.com or something. I don't bother with any of those. I've done pretty well. I also put a local ad in the paper here and a local ad online with this musicians available page to try and find content for my show. Content of all kinds. I found a co-host, Eric.
Okay. I was going to ask we haven't even talked about Eric yet. What's Eric's background? Since this is a good segue and place to talk about him.
Eric, I'm still getting to know Eric, believe it or not, but he's about my age, and he's a musician, and he's also, one of the things I noticed from the first time I talked to him on the phone was he's a very philosophical guy. He's opinionated. I like that. He also doesn't always agree with me, and I think that works well for the show. He's an artist. I believe he has an online art gallery where he sells works of art. It's called NemaGalleries.com. And so you can go there and check that out if you want. He's an intelligent guy. I'm pleased I found him. He sent me an audition CD, and I thought, that's cool. And then I followed up with him as a caller on the phone, and I met him in the bar and had a beer with him. And he's been pretty loyal about coming over here. I dig that.
Now, how long has he been on the show?
I believe since the maybe fourth or fifth show, he started sitting in pretty regularly.
And when did your first show go up?
I think the first show wasn't even a podcast, and that was, I want to say, February 27th, sometime at the end of February. Okay. And I was nervous as can be. I've gained a lot of confidence since then. The whole reason I conceived the idea of Barefoot Radio is because way over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, I decided to record a show called The MP3 Show with my friend Dave. It was never something I put out there or showed to anyone, but I gained valuable experience sitting in front of the microphone with him and preparing some subjects, and the production values picked up a lot now, too, because I mixed together a lot more music. There was no music back then except for stuff that wasn't pod safe. I didn't license it, and I, like I said, didn't put it out there, so I wasn't too worried about copyright issue infringement or anything.
That would be a good segue then to lead into the question of what hardware and software are you using to put together your show?
I actually enjoy talking about this. The centerpiece of my studio is a PowerMac G5 with a dual 2.0 gigahertz processor with about 1.5 gigs of RAM, and I track to Pro Tools, and my sound card is a Digi-O2 rack mount device, a DigiDesign Digi-O2 rack mount device, and I interface with that through my mixer, which is a Yamaha 01V96. And it's really cool having a digital mixer, because my least favorite thing on the planet dealing with a studio setup is cables. And so I just have this one optical cable going between the mixer and the sound card, and it sounds beautiful. I've never been happier with the sound quality of the recordings I'm producing. The music and sound effects that you hear are actually running off of another tower, which is a PC running Windows XP. And I'm running a DJ program in that called Traktor, which is... it's not the greatest thing in the world. Eventually, I'm going to get into something much more sophisticated, but I'm DJing off of that, so I actually have two computers fully running while I'm doing my show and stuff.
Coming up on your show, what are some of the things that listeners can look forward to for new material?
You know what? I'm really glad you asked me that, because I'm going to finish up the summer here, and one of the things I'm going to focus on, because of some people I've learned from, is I'm going to reach out more and bring guests on my show who are interesting. I want to try and get people who are great at entertaining on there, have them on the phone, interview them, and just do actual bits. But the most exciting thing I can tell you that's coming up for me is right now I'm planning to take my show over to Italy in the fall and record 3 or 4 episodes with some of my friends over there, and it should be quite an amazing experience, I think.
Excellent. That sounds fun.
We're leaving about at the end of September, and I'll be in Italy about 4, maybe most, at most 5 weeks. And I'm bringing a ton of recording gear over there, portable computers and sound cards and gadgets. I have a friend over there whose studio I'm probably going to be able to do the show in. He has the same mixer I do. I'm hopefully going to get his band to perform on the show, which is one of the most amazing bands I've ever met. I'm thrilled to death to be this guy's friend. We have a lot of respect for each other because we're both audio engineers and artists and stuff. It's going to be great going over there. Culturally, the show will have a little different theme. I'm going to play a lot of Italian-themed music with accordions, and it'll have that cultural feel.
Let's not forget at this point, tell our listeners where to locate your show.
You can find Barefoot Radio at barefootradio.com.
Where did you come up with the name Barefoot Radio?
I have a friend, Dave, and he's the guy who worked on me with the MP3 show about a year and a half ago, and recently when I was thinking of starting Barefoot Radio, I couldn't think of a name, and he somehow, someone sent me an email with the address barefootdave@.net, and I thought it was from him, but it was from some other Barefoot Dave, and then somehow through that, my friend Dave said, what about Barefoot Radio? And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. I rather like that. I also was contemplating Pink Eye Radio, which for a while I liked that, but I couldn't settle into it. I'm trying to think if there's any
Nail fungus radio, sinus infection radio.
Everything radio. As long as it had radio in the title, because that, to me, is what I'm aspiring to do. I want to create something that is indiscernible eventually from the morning show you hear driving to work.
What advice would you like to offer to those that are looking at starting a podcast today?
I do encourage people to try and do something of quality. I'm not going to just listen to someone's audio blog where they're just no to themselves, and there's nothing there of substance. I like to hear some kind of entertainment. I would say try and offer people something. It's a great way to meet a lot of intelligent people. I've noticed a lot of podcasters out there who are working really hard at it are quite smart and capable.
Such an eclectic group. When you really start talking to people, what they did before, what they're doing now, it's amazing. It's just really, everybody's coming from all walks of life to do this.
They're well-spoken. I noticed, like, in the forum over at Podcast Alley, people, most of them, not all of them, write quite well.
That's why I don't post much. My spelling leaves a lot to be desired, so I try to keep my post to a bare minimum. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close up here?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I would like to invite your listeners to go over to barefootradio.com and give my show a listen, because I'm one of the few people who's in this for the long haul. I work really hard at producing a good show. There's something to offer for everyone, whether it be pranks, independent music, talk, and hopefully laughter, most of all. If you guys could vote for me at Podcast Alley, I would much appreciate it as well. Like, list me as a favorite over at podcastpickle.com. And I appreciate listeners. I encourage people to take part, too. I like callers. I want people to come on as guests, and I want to open the forum up.
Paul, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Paul from the Barefoot Radio podcast. You can check out his podcast at barefootradio.com. Paul, thanks again for coming on the show. It was great talking with you. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a podcast promo / skit from Skepticality. It's about 2 minutes long, but extremely funny. If you're a podcaster, you're going to love this one at the end. And I'd like to do a shout out to Mark. Thanks for the feedback on the email I received from you today, Mark. My thoughts are with you, and as are my concerns about what you said. Again, thanks for the feedback. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. I'm your host, Rob, and as always, reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
Skepticality.com presents Real Skeptical Thinkers.
Real Skeptical Thinkers.
Today we salute you, the independent podcast creator.
Independent podcast creator.
When you believe everyone else is selling out, joining Podshow, signing up for Odeo, and submitting to iTunes, you are standing firm, quietly hoping for listeners, and losing sleep.
How many downloads did I get today?
It really makes no matter whether your show is just you and a cheap microphone chatting aimlessly about your day, or you and your wife discussing each other's private parts, or just a show about new music.
I love the Podsafe music.
Without you, the rest of us podcasters would lose our perspective and believe that podcasting is losing ground to corporate greed, Apple iTunes, or the cult of the Podfather.
Oh, don't forget about Odeo.
So thank you, Mr. Independent Podcast Creator. Without you, Podcast Pickle, Idiot Vox, Podcast Alley, and all other podcast directories on the internet would just be, well, full of popular podcasts. And for that, many of us can actually go on with our lives and know that you are out there keeping the number of podcasts inflated for the media.
The Independent Podcast Creator.
A message from Skepticality. Visit us at www.skepticality.com. Truth in podcasting.